KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have clear skies, 37 degrees. We look forward to be mostly sunny today with a high of 64. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The Creston Police Department reports this morning four arrests took place over the past few days. At around 6:30 p.m. on Saturday, 31-year-old Ashley Shin of Creston was arrested for driving while suspended. She was later released from the Union County Jail on a $300 bond. At around 10:50 a.m. Sunday, 49-year-old Misty McKinney of Creston was arrested on a Weld County, Colorado warrant for probation violation on an original charge of dangerous drugs. McKinney was being held in the Adams County Jail on a $10,000 warrant, awaiting extradition to Colorado. At around 11:45 a.m. Sunday, 61-year-old Edward Gunter of Creston was arrested for driving while suspended. He was later released from the Union County Jail on a $300 bond. And at around 12:23 a.m. today, 19-year-old Corbin Loudermilk of Atlantic was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center on a Union County warrant for child endangerment serious injury. He was being held in the Union County Jail on a $10,000 bond. A woman from Wisconsin has been in prison for sex trafficking a 16-year-old in Iowa and Nebraska. Federal prosecutors say 37-year-old Brooklyn Pohl was given 10 years at her sentencing Friday in Omaha. The prosecutor said officers made contact in November of 2016 with a girl at a truck stop in the Omaha suburb of Gretna. Investigators learned that Pohl and the girl had traveled from Illinois through Iowa into Nebraska. They stayed at several motels along the way, with Pohl posting online ads offering the girl for sex acts. Prosecutors say Pohl would help the girl negotiate prices with the customers. The case was investigated by the Nebraska State Patrol, the FBI, the Nebraska Attorney General's Office, and the Sheboygan, Wisconsin Police Department. Authorities say the crash of an all-terrain vehicle killed a 10-year-old in northwest Iowa. Woodbury County Sheriff's Office's deputies and medics were sent at around 3:20 p.m. Sunday to a residence a few miles west of Lawton. Details about what happened and the boy's name haven't been released. The crash is under investigation. Visitors from as far away as Australia are expected to head for southwest Iowa's Madison County this coming weekend during the 50th annual Covered Bridge Festival. Heather Riley, executive director of the Madison County Chamber of Commerce, said there will be guided tours of the historic wooden bridges, arts and crafts, a photo contest, live music, festival food, and more.
Typically, we look for about 20,000 people over the weekend. We have a 5K, there's a quilt show, the car show is on Sunday, as well as our parade. We have two stages of entertainment.
And while there were once a few dozen covered bridges in Madison County, there are now just six, which includes one bridge that fell victim to an arson fire in 2017.
We're going to do a ribbon cutting and a rededication of Cedar Bridge, which is now fully rebuilt and back. That's a $720,000 project, and lots of donations by Iowans and from people across the country who enjoy our covered bridges too.
Originally built in the 1883, the Cedar Bridge rose to fame in the early 1990s after the James Waller novel The Bridges of Madison County was published and then adapted for a film. Cedar Bridge is on the cover of the book. Madison County is considered the covered bridge capital of Iowa, with the largest collection of covered bridges in one area in the western half of the Mississippi.
I think at one time there was some discussion about maybe tearing down these covered bridges, and then thankfully some enlightened soul decided, no, these are actually pretty special. And so the Covered Bridge Festival began in 1970 as a way to preserve them. And so the book was written 20 years after that, which drew even more attention to our community.
The county seat, Winterset, is also home to the John Wayne Birthplace Museum and the Iowa Quilt Museum. That festival runs Friday through and Saturday. Well, during Breast Cancer Awareness Month this October, the American Red Cross urges eligible donors to give blood or blood platelets to provide hope and healing to patients fighting cancer. Breast cancer is the second most common cancer in women, and more than 268,000 women are expected to be diagnosed with breast cancer this year. Many patients with cancer need multiple blood product transfusions. Cancer patients undergoing surgery and chemotherapy may require red blood cell or platelet transfusions. In fact, more than a half of all platelets collected by the Red Cross are used by patients with cancer. Donors of all blood types, especially platelet donors and those with type O blood, are needed to ensure a stable supply for cancer patients and others this fall. Appointments can be made by downloading the free Red Cross Blood Donor app, visiting redcrossblood.org, calling 1-800-RED-CROSS, or enabling the blood donor skill on any Alexa Echo device. As a thank you, those who come to give blood or platelets during the month of October will automatically be entered for a chance to win one of $500 gift cards, redeemable at hundreds of merchants, courtesy of Tango Card. Certain terms apply. Among the upcoming blood donation opportunities, October 16th through the 31st, here in Atlantic, October 22nd from 7:30 to 1 p.m. at the Atlantic High School, and October 29th from 8:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the Cass County Hospital. In Pacific Junction from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on October 26th at the Lus Hills Harley-Davidson. Another donation opportunity is in Red Oak, October 28th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Montgomery County Hospital. More opportunities can be found in the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. The state of Iowa will use a U.S. Department of Justice grant to try and approach a new approach to dealing with the impact of the opioid addiction. Iowa Office of Drug Control Policy Director Dale Woolery says the $1.7 million will be used in three counties.
This pilot project will allow for law enforcement and prosecutors to do an early diversion of those individuals directly to treatment, thereby bypassing potentially the criminal justice system. But there will be case management, care coordinators who will then oversee the referrals and the individual's progression through treatment.
Woolery says they hope to reduce opioid misuse and the number of opioid overdose deaths.
It's really about having another option to try to get help for those who need it if they can be better served in treatment than the criminal justice system.
Woolery says Black Hawk, Story, and Jones counties were chosen for the pilot program that may also include other substances.
In addition to opioid addiction, we have a fairly high amount of meth addiction and other substance use disorders. So it won't be exclusive to opioids.
But Woolery says opioid abuse often began with legal prescriptions and developed into a more serious problem. He says that's created the need to look at different ways to address the situation.
The opioid epidemic has opened our eyes, and I think it's taught us some valuable lessons in better ways. We've been learning, I think, from the opioid epidemic, which is what we should do.
He says the three counties are a good fit for that pilot program.
It just happened to be the right time for them. This is not an approach that everybody will want to do. These communities were interested in doing it, and so that's why these three communities were chosen for this application.
Woolery says they provide a mixture that will give a good look at how the program might work in different settings.
We have rural, we have urban, we have college setting, and so we think that'll be good because one key part of this pilot project is going to be to evaluate how it's working. Do we want to do more of this? Do we want to do less of this? Do we want to do it differently, since it's really the first of its kind in the state of Iowa?
He says the funding will also pay for additional prescription drug take-back receptacles, training, and data collection. Well, last month's closing of Unity Point Hospital's obstetrics units in Marshalltown was only the most recent in Iowa. The Iowa Department of Public Health says nearly three dozen community hospitals have stopped delivering babies in the past two decades, and eight stopped last year. That's the most yet in one year. Stephen Hunter is vice chairman of obstetrics at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics. He says Iowa's aging population and shrinking rural numbers are among the key reasons for the closures. Hanson Family Hospital CEO Doug Morse said that the increased expense of labor and delivery care led officials to end deliveries at the Iowa Falls facility in November. That forced Jessica Sheridan of Iowa Falls to travel an hour away to deliver her daughter in Ames. And construction has begun in South Central Iowa on a $13.5 million, 50,000 square foot facility to train power pole linemen in several Midwestern states. The Missouri Valley Line Constructors Apprenticeship and Training Program is building the facility at an industrial park in Indianola. Construction is expected to be complete in the fall of 2020. The program director, Robbie Foxen, says the one-story building will sit on 46 acres and a pole yard for high-voltage power lines and training structures will be spread across the grounds. It'll be the primary training center for Missouri Valley contract linemen, traffic signal technicians, and substations technicians from Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wisconsin. The program already has five training centers in the seven states it serves. Foxen says the new facility is being built in Indianola because it is centrally located. More than 1,000 workers are expected to pass through the new center annually. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.